Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. My name's Dave Stevens. I'm a B2B marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of B2B marketing professionals and people interested in B2B marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we've got over 1,000 participants across the world. If this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, though, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. In this episode, I'll be speaking to digital and social media advisor at Make Digital Work, Helen Tinetti, about marketing measurement. Plus, content and social marketing manager at LinkedIn Marketing Solutions, Grace McDonald, talks digital advertising. Senior Global Marketing Director at S&P Global Market Intelligence, Amy Stankist, shares a key lesson that she's taken on her marketing journey. And Senior Marketing Manager at GitLab, Tina Mawani, will celebrate some great business marketing. Are you listening comfortably? Then we'll begin. If you can't measure it, you can't improve it. But so much business marketing goes unmeasured. I'm joined to talk about measurement by Helen Tinetti, who is the digital and social media advisor at Make Digital Work. Helen, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Dave. Thanks so much. Really looking forward to it.
It's great to have you here. So before we get started, tell us a bit about Make Digital Work.
Great. So Make Digital Work, what we do is we work primarily with accounting practices, and accounting practices that are trying to grow their businesses. They're generally medium-sized businesses, and they're trying to use marketing as a tool to grow their businesses. And we work with them to go in and help advise them with better practices and what could work for them, where their problem areas are, perhaps where their leakages are in their marketing, so that they can get some real results. And the most important thing that we do with accountants is approach it like accounting. So our marketing is all about the numbers. It's all about, well, where can we make incremental improvements that'll have the biggest impact on your bottom line? So we try and approach it in the same way that accountants think about approaching other businesses when they talk about growth. And my role is as an advisor, so really often just going in, advising their team that's there, helping them maybe find new talent, and helping them to build strategies and campaigns for what they want to achieve.
Okay, that means you're a great person to speak to about measurement, I think. So would you agree, you know, I started off by saying that there's a lot of business marketing that goes unmeasured.
Yes.
Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, 100% agree with it. Yes, I mean, listen, I was one of those people for many years that thought, well, you know, poo-pooed this idea of marketing measurement. I mean, really, there's so many variables and how do I control them? And, you know, and so I also thought that way. And so I can understand the hesitancy of a lot of marketers to measure.
Do you think it's that hesitancy which is the key reason why so much marketing is unmeasured?
Yeah, so I think there's a number of things that when I've done a lot of research around why people don't measure, I think there's a number of factors. And one of them is a lot of times with marketing, we focus on very short-term goals. So we focus on the next sale. When's the next sale coming in? Yeah. That's the lead. When are the leads going to improve? When are the sales going to... But it's very short-term thinking. And That is probably the biggest reason people don't measure marketing, because they're measuring one thing, statistic, which is better sales. And I mean, that's such a blunt instrument. You can't really see the improvements that marketing is maybe making throughout the whole business. So you're not thinking about it in terms of growing your business as a sustainable business. But I mean, that's all airy fairy. The truth is, I think that most marketers, there's a few reasons that they don't, and I've got my notes here, so I'll look at those. They don't do it because often they don't have the people in the business to do it. So they don't recruit the right people to do the measurement. So they recruit a lot of creative thinkers in marketing. But what they're not doing is spending the money bringing in analysts into the team, whether it's full-time or whether it's part-time. They don't do that. And a lot of the reason they don't do that, my experience when we deal with a lot of particularly medium-sized businesses, I suppose, to smaller, is that a lot of people that we deal with, they don't really understand the measurements. They don't know what you can measure because they get told over and over again, you can't measure marketing. So they don't know what they're going to even start measuring.
Okay.
The technology, they don't invest in the technology to really, you don't even have to invest a huge amount in technology because you've got things like Google Data Studio, which is brilliant if you know how to use it. But you do need to invest in getting somebody set it up for you, put the right goals in, make sure that you can read those and that it's simplified. So it produces reports that you can actually go to the board with, or you can go to your partners with, or you can go to sales with, and doesn't have a whole lot of stuff in it you don't actually need. Mm-hmm. So it's investing the time and the effort and the money into the technology you need to get the reports you want.
Okay, so if you're going to do that, you've got to first of all buy into the concept of the value of measurement. So what is that value?
So I suppose the real value, and particularly at the moment, you know, marketing always gets cut in times of stress or in times of downturn. Dips in the economy. Yeah, absolutely, downturn. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word. But the truth is that if you don't show how marketing is impacting the whole business, so every part of the business, they're not just one little thing like sales, because sales can be impacted by so many things. But if you're not showing your relevancy as a marketing, as a real part of the business, if you can't show with data how relevant you are and how important it is for them to keep spending money and where they should spend money, they'll cut the budgets and then marketing people lose out. So from a marketing perspective, it's really important. But from a business perspective, if you don't know what's working, you don't know where to spend the money. Mm. I mean, it's such a simple thing. I don't understand. We measure so many things. We measure, you know, accountants teach us all the time how to use numbers in our business, that if you don't know your real numbers in business, then how can you improve it? How can you cut your costs if you don't know where your costs are?
Yeah.
So that's the same with marketing. Where's something costing you money that actually isn't bringing in results? And that can all be measured. So what's working really well? Where should you be upping your budgets and where should you be cutting your budgets so that you get the best bang for your buck?
And I guess you could, another kind of typical challenge that you will get to measurement from a marketing space is that, and you touched on it a little bit earlier, you know, measuring marketing is too time consuming to be worthwhile. So what would you say to that?
It can feel that way. But again, I suppose what I'd come back to is spend the money upfront to understand how to set up proper goals, get someone in that can set up proper reporting for you, because it doesn't have to be time consuming. If you simplify the process and you have very specific goals that you're measuring for your business, and you know what those goals are, so you've really got to understand your full strategy, and you've got to have a goal that everybody in the business buys into, because it will stop the war between marketing and sales as well. If you have an overall company goal that everybody goes and gets excited about and everybody plays a part in achieving. So for me, if you don't do that, you lose out on so many opportunities if you don't spend the time making this happen for your business.
All right. So who does this well then?
So someone that I follow that I think is fantastic at this is a guy called James Schramko. And he runs Superfast Business in Australia. And what I like about him is he's also got that accounting. He always talks about the numbers, whether it's marketing or whether it's your business. And he believes that focus needs to happen to see real results. And he's worth listening to because he really delves into the real numbers in the business and the impact that it's had. And all his people that work with him say to him that he knows his numbers before they do. So he said he never ever, his team know that he knows the numbers. And so no one can pull the wool over his eyes when he's doing business. And I really like that. So he's definitely someone that I would recommend, someone who understands how numbers really impact the business.
Okay. So for those people who aren't quite in that bracket yet and actually, you know, have heard this and are thinking about making a start, where should they start?
So that's interesting, because one of the things that we're busy doing is developing, and by the time this goes out, that tool will be live on our website. But right. we've developed a very simple tool for people to go in and put in their main numbers, which is your size of your audience becoming leads, your leads to conversions, and your conversions to customers in a very simplistic form, because obviously these mean different things for different people. But we've put industry averages in, and we've said, we've given someone a tool to say, go and put your numbers in and play with those numbers, just tweak them a little bit and see the impact it has on your bottom line. So we hope the tool will really help people get inspired to start thinking about the numbers. But if you can just think about what size audience do you have? How much of that audience converts into a lead? And if you can start there and think clearly what a lead is, because leads are different things for different people. So understand what a lead is. And I think that's the first measurement you need to get right. And then you can start on the others.
Helen Tanetti, digital and social media advisor at Make Digital Work. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It used to be that advertising was a major element of the business marketing promotions mix. In recent years, though, as the allure of mass marketing has declined, it's become less prominent. I'm joined today by Grace McDonald, the content and social marketing manager at LinkedIn Marketing Solutions, to explore the strange death of B2B advertising. Grace, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Dave.
So tell us a bit then, before we dive into advertising, about the world of LinkedIn Marketing Solutions.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me here, Dave. So I'm Grace, as Dave kindly introduced me. I'm a content marketer for the LinkedIn Sales and Marketing Solutions side of the business. I think one of the interesting things about working for LinkedIn, and I've been there nearly 5 years now, is that a lot of people quite often don't think about how LinkedIn makes their money or what way we're structured. So we're broken down into four business units: talent, learning, marketing, and sales. I fall with the marketing solution side of the business the most often, and that's really your paid advertising. So helping brands to get in front of the right person to make a buying decision on our platform. And we have one of the most unique audiences that's available out there.
Cool. So that sounds like you're absolutely the person to ask about advertising today in B2B. And I kind of prefaced all of this by saying that advertising had been in decline in recent years. So I suppose we should start with that. Do you agree?
No, I don't agree, Dave. And I have given it a lot of thought over the last while. I guess over the last few months, we've had a lot of thinking time. Yeah. And I think that consumers expect us to advertise. A study that we've looked at from Kantar at the start of the pandemic stated that 92% of consumers thought brands should continue to advertise. So it's just a small 8% saying that we should stop. And I think that the advertising world, though, has completely changed. And that's especially true for B2B. B2B had a really bad reputation and still does. My whole career has been in B2B, but it's never been in the boring way that it's quite often framed. B2C brands, they're always seen as the champions of sexy, innovative marketing and advertising campaigns. But I think that B2B has really broken out of its mold. You still have to search to find those examples, though. So brands in B2B space need to get a lot better at showcasing their creativity and inspiring other marketing teams. In terms of advertising, it's still a competitive landscape. I was looking at a report recently from eMarketer that was from September, and it stated that digital ad spend in the UK will still grow by 0.3% in 2020 to reach just over 15 billion sterling. So that's quite a feat when you think of everything that's happened this year. And for B2B, everything has moved to digital advertising, as we all know. In-person events are still out of the question in the majority of countries. Although I've seen some brands start to test digital events, which I'm still trying to get my tongue around, some mix of physical and digital, which is really cool. 2020 has been the year where every single B2B marketer, regardless of their speciality, has become a digital marketer overnight, regardless if they wanted it or not. And it's led to some amazing innovation. B2B advertising has pivoted over the last number of years. Hard sell, product-led adverts are now a thing of the past. B2B marketers have finally realized that regardless of what they're peddling, there's another human being making the decision at the other end. And in reality, Dave, there's actually a lot of people. Recent research suggests that it's 7 to 13 people involved in B2B buying decisions now. So B2B brands are now tending to show end users, success stories, brand advocates in their advertisements. It's proof points. They know that the proof points are working, emotions are working. I think there's just been an amazing shift in what's happening in the advertising space.
That's great to hear. And can you tell us a little bit then about the results that that advertising is delivering?
Yeah, so I think looking more specifically at LinkedIn, our advertisers are always pleasantly surprised as to how they're using the product. So we're looking at different ways that people are using. It's kind of going further than just the CPC or CPM models and really creatively thinking about how can they use our targeting facets to reach their audience. And again, thinking about that wider buying committee. To give you an example, Jabra is a Danish audio equipment company that were advertised on LinkedIn. Yeah. And one day at LinkedIn, everyone started getting targeted with these ads for a company discount on Jabra headsets. They'd used our matched audience targeting option to target employees at certain companies and bid aggressively to win the auction. So we were all starting to get ads that were inviting us to come in and buy Jabra headphones. And we were so impressed with the way that they did it that we actually made a case study out of it. It was such a simple idea, but it worked really well. It showed that Jabra knew their target audience, and I absolutely love my headphones. I got the wireless ones. I'm a marketer's dream. So advertisers are being really clever about how they're using LinkedIn. They know that LinkedIn is a setting where people are in the mindset to do business. And when they know their audience, they can leverage our tools to reach them.
So can you give us an example then of another business that perhaps uses B2B advertising well? So other than Jabra on you, who else is out there who's doing a good job?
Yeah, so Drift is a company that are really, really strong. They're a conversational marketing platform. And I love how they leverage their own employees to give the brand a really strong personality, making them the star of their how-to style videos and ads, and then putting paid budget behind it. They're doing some really nice stuff with LinkedIn Live video too, and it all showcases their culture really, really well. You should look up the promo assets for some inspiration.
I will do that straight after this. But before you go, what are some of the common hurdles to good B2B advertising?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, I'm working at LinkedIn for nearly 5 years. And when I started at LinkedIn, I was actually working on our ad operations team. So I was helping our clients to actually get their ads live on the platform, so more technical role. And the biggest blocker I heard then, and I'm sure it's the exact same now because I experience it myself, is that they have no new content to share, no capacity or budget to create new content and new ads. And it's not true that you need this huge budget to get started. Choose one piece of content, a blog, ebook, even a web page that answers one of your prospects' biggest questions. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's a piece of content you've already shared organically. It's performed really well. Put some paid advertising behind it. Start small and target broad. Even if you think your audience is just one tiny subset of an audience, don't forget about those influencers that I've already mentioned, those over 7 people who are involved in every single buying experience. If you target too niche, you're missing opportunities. So watch your campaign performance and the demographics of those who are actually engaging with your campaign, and then optimize based on that data. When you start seeing this work, there'll be nothing stopping you. You don't need this multi-million dollar budget that some people assume that you do.
And would you say, if I'm thinking of, you know, if I've listened to this interview and I'm thinking, actually, you know, for all these years, I've disregarded advertising and I want to get started, is your advice then to start small?
Yeah, start small. And even if you really, really wanted to, start with organic and play around with organic on LinkedIn or other platforms. Start to understand how people are engaging with your organic. And then when you invest in paid, it's not this huge risk. You're actually going there with a data-driven approach with performance metrics that have worked organically. And now you're just boosting it and sharing it out wider.
Grace McDonald, Content and Social Marketing Manager at LinkedIn Marketing Solutions. It's brilliant to talk to you. Thank you very much. Next up, Amy Stankis shares a key lesson that she's taken on her career journey to being Senior Global Marketing Director at S&P Global Market Intelligence. Amy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. So what's made you the brilliant business marketer that you are today then?
Well, thank you very much for saying that to start with. I think one of my big key lessons as I look back over my career is generally to be brave and take the opportunity whenever it's presented. And I would actually go one step further than that, in that not just take the opportunity, but create the opportunity for yourself as well. Don't just wait for that to be presented to you. And that could be in lots of different forms. So it could be a new role that comes up that, you know, you have to take a little bit of a leap to go for. It might be a stretch project that has come up that you maybe feel like you could add something to. It could be additional responsibilities that come out of nowhere. So somebody could go on parental leave or a sabbatical, or may leave the company. And the management team might be looking for somebody to take on some of those responsibilities. And even if you're not applying for a formal role, always put your hand up, always just show that you're willing, and people will always be responsive to that. Always, you know, look, is there anything else you can do in terms of the teams that you're managing, or ask to manage a team or extra people if you have team management as part of your aspirations? Or maybe it's a new campaign idea that you've got and you would love to, you really showcase your creative talents. So I would say there's lots of different aspects that you could really look at in terms of what those opportunities might be, but always be willing to say yes. And I think there are some kind of practical steps that you can take to really create those opportunities as well, because I do know that throughout my career, it is quite common for people to say, you know, be brave, be, you know, take a risk, do something outside of your comfort zone. And I sometimes what's not so helpful is how you actually create those opportunities yourself. So I've kind of, when I was thinking about this, I thought I want to boil it down. So I've actually boiled it down to what I've called the four C's.
Wow. And that's more structured than we used to get in this. This is very good.
Very organized. I thought I'd be organized for you. And I will just go through those to start with, and then I can go into more detail. But the four C's are basically to make connections, be curious, to communicate, and be consistent. So shall I go through each one? Would that be helpful for you?
That would be really good. And actually, if you could give us an example of each one, that would really bring it home.
Absolutely. So make connections and be connected. This is so important, especially in large organizations. I've mostly worked in quite large organizations throughout my career. So I would say from day one, whenever you can, it's start to make those connections across the business. Introduce yourself to people. Ask for one-to-ones where appropriate, regularly, monthly, quarterly, whatever works. Talk to your boss, talk to your team members, your peers, your stakeholders across the business. Put a quick call in with them, make those connections, and help them to understand what it is that you actually bring to the table, and make yourself known to the largest group of individuals that you can. It also helps you to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening in the business, which will always put you one step ahead. And that brings me on to the second one, which is be curious. Always be asking questions, always. Every single time you speak to people, try and find out what they're working on. What are their teams working on? How does that align to the strategic vision or the business objectives that you understand to be true? Look for ways to innovate and improve and share your ideas. If you're not coming to the table with your new ideas, nobody knows you have them. People are not telepathic, so you have to be very open. Even if you think it's risky or it's a stupid idea, no ideas are stupid in this day and age. Nobody knows what's going to happen next in our environment that we're currently in. So everybody needs to be creative and share their ideas as much as possible. And the more that you can show that curiosity, it actually shows a certain level of intelligence and kind of vision in terms of understanding a business and finding your place in that business as well. And that also leads on to my third point, which is around communicate and be visible. So a lot of us fall into the trap of just getting on with your job, doing what you've been asked to do. You have your objectives, you deliver on them, and you think you're doing a great job. It may come to the end of the year, you don't quite get the the response or the review that you may be hoping for. And a lot of the time I've found that it comes down to just not being visible and people not actually knowing what you're delivering. So I would just say to anyone, just make sure that you are always communicating about what you're delivering and the value that you're adding to that organization. And you need to do that in a really simple way, really boil it down for whoever you're talking to really help them understand that what it is you've done, the value that that adds, and how it connects to what they're trying to achieve in their role or in the organization more broadly. And as far as you can, right, boil it down to some really key points, be concise and be data driven. Always bring that, you know, those examples of the data to the forefront when you're talking to those individuals. I'm thinking, you know, at the moment we're running one of the biggest campaigns we have in our business, and it's been phenomenally exciting and challenging and a bit scary at times. But I, you know, the expectation or that I've set to my team is that we're communicating every Friday on our metrics, on what we're delivering, why it's adding value, how we're helping our front lines, go and talk to customers. So every single Friday, it's a very clear, concise breakdown. So everybody knows exactly what's happening, and it will take them about 2 minutes to read through it, but they can go away thinking, I know what this team is doing and I know how they're delivering to this really strategic objective in the business. So I would just say, communicate at any level you possibly can. And then lastly is be consistent. So as a person with what you are delivering into the business, make sure that you're always holding yourself to those high standards, that you have that positive attitude, you bring that positive attitude to the table, a really kind of can-do behavior, a determination and a kind of focus that will always add value to any kind of project or initiative or any group of individuals. When you're in a more senior role, you're always looking for people to help you get the job done. And you tend to want to lean on those people that have shown to be consistent. You know what you're going to get from those people, and you know they're going to bring, you know, their best foot forward to the table, and they're going to absolutely contribute and just bring this kind of sense of positivity. And when you've got that, nobody can ever really complain or question. You're always going to do your best, and you're always bringing your best to the table, and they know that you're going to deliver the highest quality you possibly can. So again, you know, when I think about my team and delivering on certain campaigns, I mean, I could mention so many, but again, whenever I'm thinking about where we want to make a difference, I'll think about the people in my team, and I'll bring, you know, the kind of dream team together for that particular project, depending on the area of the business we're working in. But you always just know the people that stand out and are performing at that level in just in terms of the behaviors and the attitude, as well as the skill set and the knowledge and the expertise. So I would say bring that consistency, and just people know what they're getting from you.
That's really great advice. Amy Stankis, Senior Global Marketing Director at S&P Global Market Intelligence. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
There's some great B2B marketing out there, and I'm joined now by Tina Mawani, the Senior Marketing Manager at GitLab, to celebrate some of it. Tina, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Dave. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you. So there's some great business marketing out there, isn't there? What's caught your eye?
Well, Squarespace's Dreaming with Jeff campaign certainly comes to mind. Squarespace is a brand that's attained growth and success thanks to their focus on reaching a wide range of prospective clients. And they wanted their 2015 campaign to translate that any idea, no matter how wild or weird, can be presented beautifully and meaningfully through their brand. So with that goal in mind, they partnered with Jeff Bridges, the star of The Big Lebowski, to target even the most obscure of businesses. And they released a commercial during the 2015 Super Bowl, which has a viewership of over 114 million people. And this was referred to as the commercial. The ad spot really focused on highlighting both Bridges' sleep therapy album, as well as Squarespace, which built the website where you can listen to Bridges' music.
It's a great example, but I'm interested in specifically, what is it that impresses you most about it?
Yeah, well, firstly, you're more likely to see Super Bowl commercials advertising burgers and beers over ads for software, but yeah. Squarespace really recognized that a large portion of Super Bowl viewers are business owners. Their targeting was on point, and by employing influencer marketing, the brand really connected with viewers through a consumer-like experience that simultaneously offered a look into their unique product offering. Secondly, Bridges' entry is a great reminder of how choosing who represents your brand is key. They wanted to make sure they target every business owner to the most wild or weird, and Bridges was a perfect choice in that sense. You know, of course, not every B2B company can be expected to shell out the costs that go into creating a commercial, enlisting an A-list actor, and then airing that on one of the most watched programs of the year. But what you can do is recognize how brilliantly Squarespace integrated their core values throughout the marketing campaign and apply that to your own work. So for instance, all of the proceeds from Bridges' album were donated to No Kid Hungry, which works to provide meals for underprivileged and impoverished children throughout the US. And by supporting the website and giving the album a platform, the brand reinforced their philanthropic interests jointly with their pursuit of company growth.
It's a great example, I think, because it the message is kind of actually, whatever amount of budget you have, you really have to think about trying to be as creative as you possibly can, right? Luminaries like kind of Rory Sutherland have really pushed that point a little bit in recent times with things like their alchemy book. What would you say specifically you've learned from this that you'll apply to future work?
I think the balance of brand and activation, certainly. Squarespace was focused on both the long and the short term, but the short term focus did not negatively impact their creativity or effectiveness. The branding, values driven, and experiential approach was just so stellar. It's something that you rarely see in B2B marketing, and it's definitely a campaign that inspires me to approach my work with a creative and customer-centric, but still very much results-driven mindset.
That's great. Tina Mawani, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dave.
And that's it. That's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guests, Helen Tinetti, Grace McDonald, Amy Stankist, and Tina Mawani. And thanks to our technical team from Through the Eye of Scott Jackson, Andrew Gratian, Alex Horn, and Josh Bench. Most of all, though, thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can, and email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community run by business marketers for business marketers. And you can check out our other webinars, podcasts, events, mentoring, blogs, newsletters, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.